The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Guest was listed by Forbes magazine as one of the top 50 women in tech. She's over 25 years' experience working in software engineering, is the founder as well as the executive chair of Soapbox Labs, a leading provider of proprietary voice technology for children. Earlier this year, she was appointed the state's first AI ambassador, and she joins me now. Patricia Scanlon, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, thank you.
All right, let's start with yourself. You're an engineer by background, but you're now very much an entrepreneur.
I am an entrepreneur now, yeah. I've been in the space a long time. I've worked across multinationals in academia before founding Soapbox in 2013.
Now, we bandied the term around AI, but what is it? What does it mean? Where do we come across it in real life?
Yeah, a lot of people like to think about different definitions. One of them would be where a machine can perform a task that would be normally performed by a human. We kind of see it a lot in our Facebook feed, your Instagram feed, your Netflix recommendations, your predictive text. It's all around. It's been around for a while. You know, we're only beginning to kind of get a sense of that actually is AI.
Yeah. Now, artificial intelligence, the idea that something has intelligence suggests kind of thinking. But AI, in those uses you quote, it's got to be programmed by somebody. Somebody's got to write the algorithms, mathematical kind of equations that are applied.
Yeah, exactly. We're training models. We're training models. And I think people think about them as being sentient or thinking, and that's where everybody gets kind of, you know, getting into that science fiction. Well, actually, the reality is it's very powerful in very narrow use cases, and it's very brittle. It doesn't think. It just does exactly what it's been trained to do.
So if you actually get a digit or two wrong in your algorithm, it might do something crazy.
Well, actually, better than that, we've now moved to a point where these are modelling lots of different scenarios. So actually, there can be a lot of noise in the system and a lot of differences that it can cope with. And they couldn't do that 20 years ago.
You know? Now, the idea of driving along in, or not driving along, sitting in an autonomous vehicle. And the idea would appear to people, because they can see a camera on the screen or a selection of cameras, that this vehicle is seeing. It's not seeing. You're, as the passenger, you might be seeing. It's not. What is it doing?
It's identifying objects. It's identifying the road. It's identifying stop signs. It's identifying, you know, people, objects, other cars. And then the algorithm is telling what to do in those scenarios.
So, again, it doesn't see a concrete block. It sees a block.
It sees a block that it's been trained to see. You know, it's been identified. So if it had never been trained to see the block, it wouldn't see it. That's it. It might misidentify it. So there has to be an awful lot of work and training and years gone into these systems to make them robust and safe.
Now, does an AI system then have a set of values applied to it?
That's all human input. The values are all human input. So it comes from us. When we set the values, we set the decisions. It is very, you know, rigid in that and what happens once it identifies an object. You're actually out of the AI system, really, then you're into what someone's programmed it to do.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that and the ethical framework that should surround AI. I always pose this question. It's maybe it's a silly one, but the car is programmed and it's going along a winding cliff road, and it contains three young children, and it comes across an older person who's maybe in their 70s or 80s who's they have to avoid because they're programmed to avoid it. Do they go over the cliff taking with them three young lives, or does it make the calculation this 80-year-old is expendable compared to the three lives that are in the car? Therefore, we knock over the elflew and save the children.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are hundreds of decisions like this being made every day and within organisations. And that's where, you know, the ethical frameworks and the guidelines need to come in and give people guardrails when they're building these systems. You know, and it has to come from policymakers.
I'm not talking about the guardrails on the cliff.
No, hopefully. Yeah. No, that'd be great. That'd be ideal. But you are coming back to a policy thing. You are coming back to the people who understand the ethics of this and allowing them to pull a framework on this that people who are building these systems, private companies often, can work within.
Now, the question of deep fakery, you know, sometimes it's fun. You can make a long dead actor appear in contemporary life.
Yes.
That can be seen to be harmless, but then you have maybe an artificial Putin saying something he does not say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, part of the EU AI Act that's being will be coming to effect next year is about transparency as well. So being able to show that if you are online, you will have to be told you're dealing with even a chatbot, that this is an AI system. This
okay,
is
not so, a real so when I go onto a website and I'm complaining yeah. about something and trying to find a solution and I get this, what I would have imagined to be a person.
Yes, you would be told this is you have to be told that it would be an AI, but much like a deep fake, it would have to be labelled as fake. And obviously people are going to circumvent that, and that's where the regulations come in.
Now, the question of bias then.
Yeah, it's a really important one.
Unconscious bias.
Yeah,
I mean, people don't know really how their own ethical or moral framework is determining their own decisions.
Yeah.
And when they see something that agrees with them, they figure, that's fine, that's ethical, that's proper.
Yeah.
Because it happens to be mine.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole idea of training around implicit bias, right? We have to train people to not be biased when they're doing CV screening for jobs. You know, when we're talking about building AI, to really carefully, don't just take a whole load of data of CVs that have been accepted and rejected going back 40 years, because what you'd find is a lot of bias in them, maybe around gender, maybe around race. And what you have to do is go in and make sure any data that we're now building AI with has been screened for bias, and experts and people who have been trained on implicit bias.
Now, one of the things that they do in American schools would be testing language proficiency.
Yes.
If, however, you are testing a mixed class of white traditional Americans with African Americans, perhaps some of them from the hood with a different vernacular, people whose parents are from Mexico or from further south, you could easily see, if you had this bias, that all the white kids would do really well, thank you very much, and the other kids would be poor. Whereas they may be splendidly articulate in their own vernacular.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we do at Soapbox. We build voice AI for kids that actually does assessment in US schools at the moment for their proficiency in reading. And we've had to build a system to make sure it does it is not biased. We have to get third-party validation that it's not biased. Independent validation is a really powerful way to ensure that you haven't convinced yourself you're doing a really good job. And actually, in the real world, you're being discriminatory against those kids, and those kids are getting a load of false positives. So we can't just say we're 99% accurate, but that 1% is always targeting the same demographic or vernacular of different dialects.
Now, we were talking earlier about the autonomous car. Would you happily hop into one of those today?
If it had met all the safety certifications, yes. I'm a big fan of the regulations and making sure I can see that this software has been through the right testing and independent validation.
Okay, so that's fine. Thank you very much. Now, would you hop on a plane? That's run by AI.
Actually, yes. I mean, I've been working in this space for a long time. As long as it's been through all the right safety regulations, yes, I would.
So we could have pilotless planes or a pilotless passenger.
Exactly. And then you got to look, you know, is it as effective as a human? Is it more effective than a human? Does it make less mistakes? Does it get less tired? It doesn't get tired. You know, in the long term.
Doesn't have a drink in the hotel when it hits Chicago. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. So you kind of, the confidence will build with the safety certification and the validations and the external, you know, stamp of approval that's saying that this system has been through the right regulation.
Now, what is your job as AI ambassador? It's a voluntary position,
it is,
and you volunteered for it,
I did.
We're appointed. So what do you do?
So my job, and the reason I took this position and went for it in the first place, was that to be able to help have these conversations, to demystify AI. Because a lot of the conversations I was hearing over the years were people immediately jumping in, the robots are coming to get us, where I wanted to bring it back to, you know, the real risks and concerns we have to mitigate for today. And let's talk about them, and let's not have people scared of the AI in the first instance, because it is everywhere. But let's talk really about how we mitigate risks. Mm-hmm. So part of my role is to do that. Part of it is to talk about it with the kids at the National Youth Assembly today, and get their views and try and bring in more different disparate views into government decision making, and that's what we're facilitating today.
Yeah. I mean, when we talk about robots, many of us think of, you know, two-legged, two-armed creatures, or else we think of the robots that build cars, which are generally a series of arms doing wells and so on. But I suppose not too far away might be RoboCop, you know, that you put a human-resembling robot in harm's way rather than a human.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to come down the line with us. Very much not ready in any shape or form to make decisions at the moment. I mean, like I said earlier, the AI we have today is so narrow. An AI system that can do speech recognition does really, really well and actually can do certain things better than humans. But that same system can't make decisions and strategize and, you know, it.
I remember years ago when I wasn't a very good touch typist, I finally did learn, I had this dictation thing on my desktop computer, and I won't mention the program, but it was very poor.
Yeah.
Now, your telly, you can roar at your telly and in any accent you like, and that's AI.
Yeah, that technology is coming on leaps and bounds, particularly around deep learning, this new approach of AI, AI machine learning training that's been deployed widely, and that gave us this big leap in performance and accuracy 10, 20 years ago just wasn't possible. So in the last 5 to 10 years, this is why we're seeing it everywhere. And this is why we're having the conversation today, because it's so prevalent in the world.
Yeah. Is there an age divide here that the kids you're talking to today have an appetite for all of this?
Yeah.
Or are they as bewildered as everyone else about
AI? No, they're definitely not bewildered. They're very knowledgeable about it. They're very curious. They have their concerns. They'll bring them up today about what they are interested in. But they are knowledgeable. They're growing up, we call them voice natives now. You know, kids don't have the same, self-consciousness about talking in public to their Siri or to Alexa. You know, they've just grown up like this. You know, they've grown up with this in their lives.
I'm wondering if AI has a real role to play in keeping the teenagers safe from harm in social media and harm online.
There's a lot to be done around bullying, keeping them free for moderation. Offensive terms when they're online, when they're in the metaverse or gaming, when they're on social media, that there already is a huge amount of activity about processing, flagging for bullying, flagging for harassment or hate speech, keeping kids of the right age within the right environments.
And AI can do all that.
We can do that, we can do that. And that's important as well. So there's a lot of good we can do with this to protect them in the new world of technology that's come with these new worlds of metaverse that we keep talking about, you know.
Incredibly exciting and incredibly terrifying at the same time. Patricia, thank you very much for coming in and joining us. Patricia Scanlon, who's Ireland AI Ambassador.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.